Okay, good morning. Good morning. We're on page 378. Today's topic is who's permitted to actually receive the tzedakah funds. So, it's a mission in Peah, which is on, again, page 378. The Mishnah says, Masayim zuz lo yuto leket. If you actually have 200 zuz, again, we'll have to see what is 200 zuz. You're not allowed to take leket, shichicha, and peah, and maaser ani. So leket, right? Again, leket is something which you gather in the fields. Shichicha, same idea, in the corners of the field. All those are maaser sheni. All those are like produce stuff. So they fall under one category of a person who specifically has 200 zuz. So as we're going to see, there's going to be different levels of poor. So the level of poor that you need to be to collect leket, shichicha, and peah is under 200 zuz. And we know that for a poor person, right, he doesn't have enough money to support himself. We're going to see this difference between different levels. So this is the first level that the Mishnah mentions. However, hayu lo masayim chaser dinar. If he has 200 minus one dinar, minus a little bit, afilu elef no sinol kechas. If 1,000 people in theory could then give him one dinar, hari zeitol, then he's allowed to take. Meaning, as long as he has 199, he's permitted to take what's called the matnos anim. Hare, mi mosh chanim lebal chavo, o luksuvas ishto, hare ze. Yito. If he has a mashkan, if let's say in a situation where he has a mortgage. It's called a mashkan, right? He has a mortgage, right? So there's a collateral on that mashkan, and he has it in order to give to his that he has for his to cover the amount of money for his wife's ksuba, or let's say similarly, he also has a mortgage. That he just has, let's say, in general, right? We give mortgages today. Hare ze yito. He would be allowed to, and therefore what he owns, let's say he owns more than 200, but it's tied up in a mortgage. It's tied up in a mashkon. So it's as if he doesn't have the money, because I owe it, right? Well, so today, you have a house worth $2 million.
He is considered poor?
Poor, he's considered poor. So if a person, therefore, even has, a debt. So debt, that's the rule today too. If you have debt, it counts against your assets. So if you have 500, but you have
a mortgage
of 490, you're a 10, you're considered poor. Okay. That's the rule. That's the rule today too.
Everyone is poor. So if you have a mortgage,
If you have a mortgage, that counts here. So, by the way, that counts here too. You can have a house in Thornhill worth $1 million, but if you have a mortgage of $800,000, you're not a millionaire, right? Because you're only worth $700,000. Okay.
According to that, if you owe, then most people wouldn't be given tzedakah.
But this is the person who's allowed to take tzedakah. Hold on, We're going to even see a broader definition in a minute. But for now, this is other people. So, by the way, this is referring to in your bank or under your pillow. Right? This is 200 dinars, 200 zuz under your pillow. Okay. Fine. And this is also very important. Last line. Ein mechayvin oso limkor es beiso veskli tashmiso. So when we talk about 200 zuz, it doesn't mean that I don't have a fork, a knife, a pillow, or a bed, or a chair. I can have those things. But we're talking about what they call liquid assets is the term that is used in the financial world, right? Liquid asset means I can turn it into cash quickly, right? You cannot turn your chair into cash quickly. You cannot turn your fork. And what's important here is we're talking about eating. So if you have a house, it doesn't help you in terms of survival. I mean, you need a house, but you also have to eat. So you'll see this is very important for our definition in the modern era, where most people in the modern era have most of their money tied up in their house, right? And in stuff. So now, we'll see about maybe you have no food, but I have a different Canada Goose jacket for every day of the week, right? How do we deal with that, right? Right? So, okay, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's continue. Mishi yishlo 50 zuz, a person who has 50 zuz, for who knows if no sin behem, and what does he do with these 50 zuz? All he has, but instead he uses them for business. Uses them to invest, uses them to invest, as a good example, right? No, things you're not allowed to take because you're doing it for business purposes. You're not doing it for food. You're not really an ani. Vinotel, a person who doesn't need to take, let's say, this leket, the shichacha, this peya or maisa ani, and you do take it, let's say, wow! Before you pass away at 120, you're going to really need to collect, as they say. Wow! And the opposite, you really need to be taking tzedakah. You live below, I guess we call it the poverty line, right? Right? You need to take tzedakah. You're not going to die from old age. Actually, a furnace, a cherim yishalo. And you'll not die from old age. Rather, instead, eventually, you'll be able to help others. Okay? Fine. So these Mishnayos are actually mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 17.
How much is it?
Good. That's enough. We'll get there. Good. Excellent question. Good. We'll get there. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Mishish lo mazon shtei seudos lo yutol min ha'tamchoi." So, as we've said a couple weeks ago, there's different levels of tzedakah that would be used. If you have enough food for two meals, you're not allowed to take from the tamchoi. The tamchoi is literally, I have no food for the next two meals. Right? Nothing. I don't know. That's very serious. Then you have mazon arba asrei seudos. If you have enough food for the next 14 meals, by the way, how many meals do you eat a day? Two. Only in the modern world of unhealthy eating do we eat three meals a day. In the real world, there's only two meals a day, which is why Shabbos was special. Shabbos we had three, right? That's the beauty of Shabbos. But that's not regular. So a person who has enough food for a week, lo yuto mina kupa. They're not taking the kupa. So again, there's a tamchoi, then there's the kupa. Ve'im yesho masayim zuz, and if you have 200 zuz, ve'ein onosa, ve'nosim having used for business, or you have 50 zuz, and you use it for business, lo yuto tztaka. You can't take tztaka at all. However, im yesho masayim zuz, if he has 200 zuz, under a dinar, fine. And he doesn't use it for business, and 1,000 people give him one zuz, then you'd be allowed to take. It would be okay. Okay, fine. Now,
why you can give to him 1,000 zuz.
No, so it's because what happens is everyone's obligated.
Okay, maximum 200, because if you risk right. 200, you will...
So what happened was, once he hit 199, everyone can give you money. So everyone gives them. Once everyone gives them, but at the time they were giving, it had to give them at the same time. Because the person gives them, two people give them, then it hits over, and then you can't take anymore. Everyone gives them the exact same second. Again, I don't think it's realistic. But my eyes bother me today. Okay. Now, what about a person who's traveling? This is very interesting. If a person travels from city to city to gather tzedakah, we're talking 500 years ago. See, Jews did this regularly. We know they do it today. They did it hundreds of years ago, too. The entire trip is considered one moment. So again, he's under 200 zuz. He goes to the first city. He goes all the way to, he hits the first stop on leg on his journey. One person gives him the 200. Yachol lekabel yoser mikan ve'elach aser. He'd be allowed to continue. He'd be allowed to gather more, but then we'd not be allowed to gather more. Okay, and let's say he has a lot. It's tied up in assets. Again, I'm not going to repeat that again. We read that in the Mishnah. Okay, fine. For whatever reason, 200 zuz is considered the amount of money needed to cover your expenses for a full year, right? So 200 zuz is equal to income for a full year. So it's a person. Now, does this mean the person has... No, I made a statement, which I probably have to clarify. You have this money in the bank? Does that mean you have a salary? Does that mean you have... What does it mean, 200 zuz? What does it mean, 200 zuz? So I tried to skirt around the issue because it has to be dealt with properly. But what does it mean, 200 zuz? And where did the other number from? So the first thing that's important to understand is that's an annual salary. It's an annual basis. So 200 zuz. So if that's why, by the way, in the ksuba, what's the amount of money in a ksuba? The basic money in a ksuba is 200 zuz. Why? Because that's the money that a husband is obligated to provide for his wife. Okay? So, that's, you know, living expenses for the year. So, if that's true, how do we look at it in the modern world? So, turn the page. Comes along the Rashba, who lived in Duran, in Algiers. He's born in Algiers. It says the Rashba, in Source 18, Od Ani Omer. The love davka masayim zuz. Don't think davka masayim zuz. Ella hakol lefi ha'eis vazman. It depends. What we have to ask ourselves: what's the amount of money that you need to earn in your context, right? Not in Ethiopia, and not in
Mexico.
Well, Mexico? No, Mexico is a bad example. No, I don't know. Right? But where you are now, that's your context and your time, right? So it could be what was good 100 years ago is not going to be helpful today. Right? If you earned X amount of money 100 years ago, earned the same dollar value today, we know that your money over time decreases, right? A dollar today is not worth a dollar in a year from now. It's worth, I don't know, 98 cents, right? Money decreases over time, right? So, now that's what the Rashba says. Vishirlo parnasa shana lebana viishto. I just read the end there, the bolded part. So this amount is the amount needed to support yourself, your wife, and your children for an entire year. So it's really, this is a very, very, very important Rashba, and that seems to be what's understood. So it totally depends on the context of where you live. Does that mean, so listen.
If you have a job, that's considered...
Not necessarily. If you have a job that pays you $50,000 and you live in Thornhill, you're dead. You're bankrupt. You can't eat. You can't survive. Right? There's no way. Right? Impossible. Okay? So, Shulchan Aruch, 19. Shulchan Aruch brings down, mentions this Rashba. Yesh omrim shlo nemru hashurim halalu ela b'yameyem. Again, you can take tzedakah until you earn enough money that you're able to provide for your family. Yeah.
Let's say he has like a $1 million house, and right, let's say it's $100,000 you have to be making a year to be able to support yourself.
Right.
So if he's making like 75, and right, we're told by the Mishnah you don't have to sell your house.
That's right.
So he could take the stock in that case.
That's right.
You know, he really
okay, that's an excellent question.
Downsize.
So yeah. Okay. So the question is, you can't downsize in Thornhill. You can't downsize from $1 million house in Thornhill. There's no house under $1 million. Meaning $900,000. Meaning, right? It's not like you can downsize. Right? You could downsize from a $2.5 million house. That you could downsize from. You can't downsize from a $1 million house. We're going to a condominium. You're going to a condo unit, which is $650,000. And right? Like it does me.
$674,000 last time I checked.
Really?
You're
looking for condo?
No, I was walking to Promenade Mall and there was a sign.
About $675,000 for a condo. What are housing prices in Mexico? Expensive?
It also depends in the zone.
I mean, the Jewish neighborhood.
The Jewish, it's also like...
expensive.
800,000.
American? For a house. Do you have houses or
condo,
apartments?
Condo.
Nobody apartments. Has houses, right?
No, there is, but there's not that common.
Not that common. Most people live in apartment buildings. But like big apartments?
Yeah, big apartments.
They're big.
Very big. Like 400 square
meters. What's that in? What's 400 square meters in feet?
I think.
I don't know what that is.
Big house.
Big. It's a big. Okay, fine. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Okay, fine. So Yalkut Yosef, right? Rav Avadia Yosef in 20. He says, but bismanas in sir dr actually 10 second mission is lama times is shona marsh is ala be mehem of akshav yakhlito tsaka chelo ken okay literally he actually goes word for word the shona arach okay fine now look at 22 I'm going to skip down kama nosim lani dai machsaro asher yachsaro you give until the person is not lacking anymore. How, what does this mean? If he's hungry, you feed him. If he needs clothes, you give him clothes. If he needs stuff in the house, you get him stuff in the house. Okay? Fine. Turn the page, please. If he has no wife, so this is very important. Inla Isha, Ubalisa Masinlo. If he has no wife, he's getting married, you have to help out with the wedding, renting out the house, right? If you have to give him a bed or whatever is needed, then you do it. Okay. Now, the Chozeh, says the Ramah. This is a very important Ramah in 382. Hagah. V'nir ed the Chozeh begabay tztaka or rabin biyachin. Avalin a yachin v'chuyav li'ten la'ani day ma'asaro. This is referring to as a community where we have to provide for people. Each person individually is not obligated to give everything that that person is lacking. You give a little bit of money and everyone gives a little bit of money and together, that's how you reach that amount. Ela modia tzaro l'rabim. V'im l'rabim etzla yitana yachid im yadom asagas. If, obviously, there's not enough people to help, then one person could help. But don't look at it as if every person is obligated to give that amount of money. Okay. Look at 24. Jump down to 24. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Okay, fine. Let's go down to 24. B'chol asher maspikim la'ani. When you talk about how much you have to provide for a poor person, ina ses lemutaros. You don't have to give things that are necessary. And the raka d'dvarim ha'echrichim. The things that are needed. V'nira, shagdarasha musaros. What's considered what's, you know, needed. As opposed to, so what's considered extra, extraneous. It's again, it's a relative term. It's dependent upon where you live, dependent on your society, right? Again, all these things require context in order to be able to really give to somebody. So that's very important. That's very important. Okay, next, 383, new topic, which we can, I think, we'll be able to cover. Maybe not. We'll see how far we can get. Okay. Go to 26. Lo yitan adam kol tzidakosav la'ani yachad. You should not give all your tzedakah to one person or to even one neighbor. Why? Why? Because just in case that person wasn't really worthy to give tzedakah, so spread it around. If you give to one person, and maybe that person really wasn't really worthy, then you're in trouble. It's just to spit it around. Okay, fine. So what does that mean? How much you have to look into? You have to do investigation. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask.
Right. The investigation. Maybe that person is, does someone else is more worthy, or maybe that person's, okay. So.
Also there's categories for giving tzedakah. So it's better to give to Kollel than...
Okay, so that was, we had earlier, okay, so you have to give, so there's give money to Kollel, there's give money to who can afford, right, so there's different levels, right. There's also, it would matter if you benefit from it or not, right? If you benefit from it, from an organization, from an institution, from a person, so those cases you have to give not because of, it can because of tzedakah, but it could also be because of usage. You know, that's why I like using the Eruv as an example, right, you know, an Eruv, right?
No.
For carrying on Shabbat. You know,
yeah,
Eruv. Okay, so what happens is that people use the Eruv and they don't contribute towards the Eruv. So you're not obligated to give the Eruv because of tztaka, you have to give because you use it. It's like, you know, That's often the case with membership of places. You use it, you got to pay for it, right? So it's like, that is your obligation, is to give to you before it's tzedaka, right? You know, you go to a store and you get bread, you got to give that guy, you have to give the owner money because you're using it. No, it's not tzedaka. I mean, it might be, but you have to pay for your items first. Okay, now, Guru, the Chochmas Adam warns you that you can give to one person, just don't do it regularly, but you could. And 30 is that both kingdoms are knows. You do inquire. You want to know how poor are they when it asks for food. You don't ask when it comes to clothing. Okay? And the Gemara here learns out a whole thing. Why, Dafka, that's the case. Okay, but the point is that investigating if they are poor is something which you are allowed to do. It might even be obligated to do, because who knows? So we have a system here, I'm sure you've seen it before. In Toronto, we have these like cards that they've been already vetted, right, that they're worthy to collect tzedakah. And that's the system here, and that's the right system to do. Is it add more work? Yes, it does, but it prevents a bit of fraud. Is it perfect? No, system's perfect, but it's a good system. Okay, 31. Person comes and says, right? The guy says, right now, I have no food. Feed me right now. We don't check. Such a person, we do not check if they need it, because if they're that desperate, we don't ask them. However, if he's naked, and Rambam says no clothes, we do look a little bit of, we investigate, because maybe the person's lying. If we know the person is, then you don't need to investigate. Wow. Obviously, we're not referring to naked, mamash naked, we're referring to the person who's not dressed properly. Okay. Let's skip all the way to 36. You need to chase after tzedaka. Right? 36. You have to chase out these people to give them. Especially if you find the person is really worthy of, this is a good cause. This is a good tzedaka. You have to chase after it to make sure to give it to them. And then 388. Jump all the way to 388. 39. And we'll finish with these two things. And then we'll go to Dam Shachris. Okay, 39. Here we go. Masifrit Staka Mishmar Katav Bishema going Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arba. Here we go. Asur Lasayt Staka Liposhe Yakshu Yodeshu Ramai. If you know the person is a shyster, is a cheater, you cannot give them Staka. Okay? We know there are people. In fact, I could tell you somebody who I know, he offered a person who's asking for Staka a job. Not a complicated job, just a job. It's a sweep, and they don't have a number of real estate. They offered a guy a job to pay him $35,000 a year to do nothing, but to show up to work for 4 hours a day. That's it, from 10 to 12, 5 hours a day, that's it. The person said, no. Instead, he'd rather just sit in front of a couple of stores collecting money. That's a problem. So now, often it's psychological and it's emotional, but here's a guy, offer him a job, right? And questions, you offer someone a job, they don't take it. Could be, doesn't give them money anymore, right? An opportunity, and they didn't take advantage of the situation. Okay, it's psychological, emotional. Okay, but it's something we definitely have to be aware of when we deal with people and even organizations. I know there's certain organizations every so often they get caught. They're not always considered proper organizations with the run. We do have to be careful about
that. So a guy is the same Dan Mouse, right? You can get